Dayton handily won the DFL nomination, coming in almost 20 percentage points over his closest rival. Aside from a few last-minute barbs, the Democratic primary was relatively friendly and issue-oriented. Dayton attributes his first-place finish to, among other things, his high name recognition and previous bids for statewide office.
That was a base of earned support through 2 decades of government service, public service, Minnesota, that gave me a starting point ahead of the others, and then I think the issues that I was able to identify, and I think the healthcare helpline and the RX Express were really very, very important in not only identifying me with those issues, but demonstrating here's somebody who wants to do something about them.
But having a household name won't provide the same advantage in the general election, where Dayton faces a familiar incumbent, and Republicans are promising to turn Dayton's signature health care issues against him. Before the curtain fell on primary night, Grams was already painting Dayton's call for immediate universal health care as big government intrusion and liberal politics as usual. Dayton characterized his opponent's opening salvo as juvenile.
If he thinks that calling me Mark Liberal enhances his public standing as a United States Senator, I certainly welcome his continuing to do so. I don't think that that's the caliber of campaign that Minnesotans deserve and have a right to expect.
Dayton returned fire over Graham's proposal for privatizing Social Security, saying it could jeopardize retirement security for senior citizens. Graham says the charge is little more than a scare tactic, and like his DFL challenger, pledged to run an above-board, issues-focused campaign.
I don't want to get into name-calling. I was just trying to probably put him on the political scale, and I just thought that when you look at Mark's the issues and the positions he has taken, that is a very liberal position. So without calling Mark a liberal, if that's, you know, what he's talking about, but the positions that he has taken, I think, are very liberal and really not in touch with reality at all.
Also advancing into the general election is Independence Party candidate James Gibson. Gibson says Grams and Dayton represent ideological extremes. He says he'll take a page from the IP's senior elected official, Governor Jesse Ventura, and chart a course up the middle. Ventura has pledged to stump for Gibson and other IP candidates now that the primaries are over, and Gibson's clearly hoping the governor's star power will rub off on him. But Gibson, who advocates paying down the national debt and privatizing Social Security, acknowledges his first priority is fundraising.
We know this is going to be a record spending level this year. Prior record was in 1982 when Dayton ran, so we're positive this will be a spending record. And we know Rod Grams will do all he can to compete on the dollars. So we're going to go to the average Minnesotan and just suggest that, you know, if one-third of the people that voted for the governor send us $5, we'll have all we need to run this election.
Gibson says if he can attract enough attention through statewide debates, he believes he can run his campaign on only $500,000. Gibson says he's in the race to win, but failing that, he needs at least 5% of the vote to retain major party status for the Independence Party. Craig Grau is a political science professor at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He says capturing more than 5% is not a foregone conclusion for Gibson and may depend on the behavior of the two other major campaigns.
You know, if the race really got, a lot of negative attacks back and forth between Dayton and Graham's, people might just go to Gibson for a protest vote. But if it looks like it's a very, very close race and every vote's going to make a difference, people might decide to participate in the where the action is.
If the first day of the general election is any measure, Grams and Dayton may be playing directly to Gibson's hands. At the Capitol, I'm Michael Koo, Minnesota Public Radio.